Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. It is now common to hear talk about, and we even do it ourselves, even people like me who don't believe this stuff talk this way. The language, the vocabulary of natural selection, it is now ingrained in the way we think. And occasionally you might even find yourself letting your guard down and thinking, well, you know, what was it like millions of years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth or something like that? You believe in a biblical account of creation, and yet we still, because it is so pervasive, we find ourselves immersed in the vocabulary and the mindset of natural selection and what Charles Darwin introduced to us as a theory of evolution, especially of man's origins and the origins of other species in life. But when did this atmosphere begin to creep into the intellectual world of the West? When did people start to think in terms of natural selection? When did not only the theory arise, but when did the scientific community begin to say, you know, we have to have a way of explaining this that does not include a creator and does not include a God or any need for that? Well, certainly didn't begin completely with Charles Darwin. Joining us to talk about a contemporary Charles Darwin, Alfred Russel Wallace, for this last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, June the 29th, Dr. John Morris. He's president of the Institution for Creation Research based in Dallas. Dr. Morris, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, hello, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Was it all Darwin's big idea, and from that point on, the so-called verdict, intellectual verdict of the scientific community was natural selection?
Well, you know, Alfred Wallace and Charles Darwin are given kind of co-credit for developing the theory, but, you know, it was around for a long time before Darwin. In fact, Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, had published a book on natural selection and evolution, and there have been people down through the centuries. Even back to the early Greeks, they were talking about really almost a modern theory of evolution and natural selection. So Darwin didn't really come up with it, and Wallace was at about the same time, but Darwin was able to popularize it in a way that it captured the public imagination, and it grew from there. But in fact, a lot of historians have said that evolution was in the air of Elizabethan England. Everybody was just throwing off God and throwing off the shackles of Scripture, and were looking for a naturalistic explanation for things. And evolution was handy to them in throwing off these the restraints put on them by Scripture and by the monarchy there in England. It's a lot more to it than just finding some finches down at the Galapagos Islands.
You see, that's the myth, and whether it's Charles Darwin or whether it is Alfred Russel Wallace, the myth seems to be people, kind of scientifically neutral, intellectually neutral individuals, start to do basic scientific research, zoology, biology, things like that, categorizing plants and animals. And then the picture begins to emerge. No one had ever looked at this before, and suddenly they're seeing correlations here and changes in the species within and without. And suddenly they begin the claim is the evidence comes before the theory. And then Charles Darwin was driven inevitably to conclude natural selection must be the explanation for everything. It sounds like you're saying that's a myth, and it actually the ideas actually emerged from someplace else.
Yeah, it really goes back to a spiritual problem. once you get away from the supernatural creator, the God, your maker, to whom you're responsible for your actions and your choices, then you're looking around for a naturalistic explanation. In fact, Darwin even wrote in his memoirs, he said, he went to school in theology. He was trained to be a pastor, never did go to science school, but he was trained to be a pastor, but somewhere in there he gave up on the idea of God. He saw pain and suffering in the world, and he said, how could there be a God and this world be so dominated by pain and suffering and death? So he gave up on the idea of a supernatural God and cast about for a naturalistic explanation, and natural selection was his best guess. But even Darwin, when he wrote his book Origin of Species, the one thing that he did not ever talk about in that book was the origin of species. He talked about variety among rock pigeons. And the finches down in the Galapagos. He talked about variety. He talked about breeding of dogs and horses and the different traits that the dogs would have. But he never did talk about where did dogs come from. He didn't talk about the origin of species. He talked about variety within species. But, there's just so much folklore attached to Darwin that it's hard to get people even to understand the issue. In fact, I was just down in the Galapagos Islands a couple months ago, and we studied these animals, the finches and the turtles and stuff. But what really is going on the Galapagos is it's being documented that these species come back together, that the 17 different species of finch that are acknowledged, that all of them interbreed. They're all one species. They're not separate species. And some of these other groups, like the land iguanas and the marine iguanas, they're listed as separate species, but yet they interbreed. They're the same species. The origin of species is not on display in the Galapagos Islands, and Darwin didn't see it. We don't see it today. What we see is variety within a particular category, and that sounds an awful lot like what the Bible's been telling us about the kinds, that God created the different kinds of animals. He created them after their kind, it says in Genesis 1, and that kind, there's a lot of variety potential among the dogs, but dogs are dogs and cats are cats, and they're not the same, and a lot of variety, but no evolution. There's just a lot of misinformation that's out there, even among scientists.
Are you saying that the entire concept or category of species may in fact be inadequate to a tool to classify what we're actually seeing, what Darwin was actually seeing there?
You know, when we say the word species, we say it as if we knew what we're talking about. But even in science, even in evolutionary biology, there is no standard definition for species. Everybody's got a different one. There's a lot of them on the books. It's just not something that's known. What is a species? But I think biblically, we're not talking about species so much. We're talking about kinds. The Bible says God created things after their kind, and if we use the example of dogs, then God would have created the dog kind, and they were dogs at the start, and then they were allowed to vary to fit environments. And now we have the wolf dog and the domestic dog and the fox and the coyote. I mean, these are all, today we call them different species, but all of those, they interbreed in the wild of their own choosing. I mean, they are the same kind of creature. Species is just not something that science knows really what it is.
How would you respond to someone who says, okay, look, Darwin may have been right for the wrong reasons. He might have been looking at these finches and concluding in their case that there was some sort of differentiation from species to species and that this was natural selection on a grand scale and writing at large over all of biological life. But it's been 150 years, and the evidence is now in. And now we do have the evidence that Charles Darwin may have lacked, and his conclusions were right, maybe for the wrong reasons, but now we have all the right reasons.
Well, I don't think Charles Darwin's conclusions were right. I think he was driven by a religious perspective that he basically gave up on the idea of a supernatural God and chose naturalism as a religion. And that's where science has been dominated. What's where our public schools are dominated. They've even defined science. A new definition for science is naturalism, that there is no supernatural. And I think they're getting it wrong. I think they're in the wrong ballpark. If you go into a science lecture hall and want to talk about intelligent design or a designer or creation, you will not be allowed to speak. If the Bible's right, there is a creator, and that's truth. That is just truth. And we're just not allowed in the ballpark. And so they are determined to just wallow in the error of naturalism. And that's where we are. I think they're missing it. That they're missing the big picture and the details.
Dr. John Morris is our guest for another 10 minutes on the other side of this break. He's president of the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. When we come back, we'll talk about the contemporary to Charles Darwin. He says it was in the air. It was a worldview emerging of which Charles Darwin was merely a symptom, of which that theory of natural selection was merely a symptom. And apparently, Charles Darwin wasn't the only one who was catching it. It was also Alfred Russel Wallace. We'll find out who he was and how he contributed to this worldview as well. It's Monday, June the 29th. We're coming to you live here on Issues Etc. Dr. John Morris is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. 10 more minutes of Issues Etc. after this.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
My local Christian bookstore just sells Jesus schlock. Where can I find good material? We at NewReformationPress.com are committed to providing a hand-picked selection of books and teaching materials that educate, inform, and entertain while uniquely maintaining a relentless focus on the gospel. We believe that these forgotten doctrines and their scriptural emphases can not only enrich individual Christians and revive the church, but also address the deepest needs of our culture. Discover our growing library of resources by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio program, including his powerful address, The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, available exclusively at NewReformationPress.com, or the Big Picture audio presentation, Bible in an Hour, by Pastor Wade Butler. Learn the center and scope of redemptive history and scripture in just 1 hour. And of course, be sure not to miss our selection of t-shirts, gifts, and artwork as well. NewReformationPress.com. Finally, Reformation theology made accessible.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about a contemporary to Charles Darwin. Dr. John Morris is our guest, president of the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas, Texas. We'll post a link to the Institute for Creation Research at our website, issuesetc.org, tonight. Click on demand, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about mercy, a big subject in Scripture. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief will be our guest. And then Wednesday, the religions of the stars. They're weird. They're wild. They are as interesting as the stars themselves. Rich Bonas will be our guest. He's got a new book on that subject. Tell us a little bit about Alfred Russel Wallace and why we don't read about him in the school textbooks when it comes to the theory of natural selection.
Well, to some degree, you do read about him. He's kind of considered the co-discoverer of evolution by natural selection with Charles Darwin. But certainly, it's Darwin that gets celebrated, and he gets all the press. So Wallace kind of takes a back seat, but it's really kind of interesting that both of them came up with the same idea. Actually, Wallace came up with it a little bit sooner. Like I said, it had been around for quite a while, but in terms of they kind of put it together in a way that people could understand it and utilize it. But Darwin actually wrote his theory down and sent a letter to Charles Darwin, who he knew was toying with some of the same ideas. He wrote him a letter and explaining his new theory of evolution by natural selection. And Charles Darwin was so shocked that here's this guy in a mud hut out in Malaysia, the jungles out there, and he's come up with the same idea that Charles Darwin was coming up. And Darwin had been working on this book for decades. And when Darwin saw Alfred Wallace's letter, then Charles Darwin rushed to publication so that it would look like it was his idea in the first place. But Wallace had already proposed it and wrote it in a letter to Darwin. We have the letter, so we know the dates. And Darwin gets all the credit, but it was Wallace's letter that kind of jump-started him and kicked him into publishing as soon as he did. He might not have published yet if it weren't for Wallace's letter. But what's interesting? Darwin lived in England, the seat of the highest learning of the day. And he was surrounded by the scholars and the scientists, and it was the intellectual focus of the day. And Wallace was in a mud hut in the rainforest, the jungles of Malaysia, and they came up with the same idea at the same time, approximately. Wallace says the idea of natural selection came to him by a flash. He was in a drug-induced stupor. I mean, this is him saying. I don't have the letter in front of me, but I've read it. He says he was in a drug-induced stupor with a disease down in Malaysia, and suddenly the whole idea of evolution by natural selection came to him. Bingo. It was on him, and he wrote it down and sent it to Darwin, who was developing the same ideas in the Center of Learning in England. Both of them they came to the conclusion that there was no creator, that there was no God, there was no design in nature, and the idea that Darwin and that Wallace came up with this in a flash. He said it was just a revelation while he's in this drug-induced stupor, in a fever. It just makes me wonder, who's behind all this? There is the fact that this idea of evolution, which has so little support for it, I mean, there is so little scientific data that supports the idea that species come from, or the different kinds come from something else. I mean, where did the dogs come from? I mean, where did the cats come from? We see them vary, but this whole idea that they can happen by natural processes, it just seems like there's something more to it than just human intellect, because, well, those two guys, in very different circumstances, came up with it over the course, I mean, one in a flash, one in decades of study. And now it dominates the world. It dominates education. It dominates the media. It dominates politics. It dominates the judicial system. I mean, it's all evolution. In fact, when Peter wrote about the last days, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he wrote about it, he says, I want to talk to you about the last days here. He says, they'll come in the last days scoffers. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, they'll come scoffers, walking after their own lust, who say, and then he gives the creed of these scoffers. He says, they will say that all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, present processes have done it all, naturalistic processes. There were no supernatural processes. There was no supernatural input. He says, but recognize this, that there have been supernatural processes. And he goes on to explain about creation. Supernatural processes were involved in creation, and supernatural processes were involved at the time of the flood. And then he prophesies that there'll be supernatural processes at the end of times when the new heavens and the new earth will be recreated. So there has been supernatural input into the natural order. But yet Peter identifies this naturalistic idea as the idea that dominates the world system in the latter days. And it's certainly dominating our days. It certainly dominates science and education. That's all there is naturalism. There is no room for a supernatural. I think it's actually predicted in Scripture, it's prophesied in Scripture, that this naturalistic idea would dominate. And that's what we see. That's what dominates today.
Let's get in a quick phone call here from Joe calling from his car. Hi, Joe. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, I was wanting to ask real quick. Augustine wrote some arguments in the City of God against people that held the view that life developed over, you know, years and years and long periods of time and developed out of swamps, which is basically sounds like evolution just doesn't have the modern evolution lingo. And after reading that, I really wondered how a lot of modern evolution Darwinists and stuff like that off with saying this is a new idea. When here you have Augustine writing it in 425. I wonder what you thought of that. Thanks.
Joe, thank you very much. About 30 seconds to respond to Joe's call.
Joe, I'm no authority on Augustine, but it doesn't surprise me that he wrote that. Even the Greeks were writing it before him, that these natural processes, that life came from a swamp. I mean, you can get that in a biology program today.
Marilyn emails us saying, please tell us how to respond to today's evolutionists when they say a man has evolved to decide for himself what is right and wrong. They also oppose the use of the survival of the fittest because it implies that we do not have to help the unfit. They prefer natural selection. They maintain that a man has evolved higher than the other animals, and now we can select to help the poor because we have determined it will benefit us. Your response with less than a minute.
You know, Darwin and natural selection has been used for decades, a couple hundred years actually, to justify the elimination of the unfit. Hitler picked up Darwin's book. He says, I use this as a scientific justification for his idea that the Aryan species was, or subspecies was higher evolved than the others. And he used Darwin's book to justify the wiping out of those that he felt less fit. That mentality called social Darwinism has been very prominent. And now they're kind of switching and saying, well, now we can help the less species. But, you know, you can't do it with Darwinian evolution. You can only do it with modern-day New Age evolution. But it's still evolution. It's still that denial of the supernatural and denial of the authority of the supernatural over his creations.
Dr. John Morris is president of the Institute for Creation Research based in Dallas. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. God bless you.
Well, coming up tomorrow, it's the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc.'s return to the air. 1 year since June 30th, 2008, when we started back on the air, and we want to celebrate with our listeners. We have quite a gathering, both here at LPR Studios tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then for our free and informal dinner afterwards for our listeners as well, a way of saying thank you, because it is our listeners who have brought issues, et cetera, back and are largely responsible. All glory goes to God, but our listeners certainly were the instruments of bringing issues, et cetera, back to the air. Tomorrow, beginning at 4 o'clock here at LPR Studios, and there's still time to RSVP. Email Craig at issuesetc.org. The address, Craig at issuesetc.org. Looking forward to seeing all of our listeners who will come to celebrate 1 year back on the air with us tomorrow, beginning at 4 o'clock. Also tomorrow on the program, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us. We'll talk about mercy. Mercy is a single word that pretty much sums up the entire message of Scripture. Mercy, the mercy of Christ. Is there any reason? Is there any reason why Christians don't call out, Christ, have mercy? There's the message. Look forward to see our listeners tomorrow for our celebration of 1 year back on the air of Issues Etc. And thank you for listening today to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.